All right, there we go. Okay, we start tonight by acknowledging our sponsors. This evening's shiur is being co-sponsored by Chaim and Shifra Lam in memory of Chaim's mother, Sarah Bas Chaim, Sarah Lam, Alaha Shalom, for her yahrzeit, and by Barbara Breitstein in memory of her grandmother, her grandmother's yahrzeit, Chaya Devora Bas Yisrael Pinchas, Dora Roer, Alaha Shalom. And in the zchus of our learning together, their neshamas should indeed have an aliyah. Okay. All right, folks. So we are up to Perek Daled in Shmuel, and the plot begins to thicken. Last week we spent our time in Perek Gimel, talking about the transition from Eli to Shmuel, and we had a rather in-depth discussion about the flaws of Eli and the blind spot and his blind spots, Shmuel's greatness, how the Torah, how the Navi indicates to us his similarities to Moshe Rabbeinu, and quite a few other things that all indicate this transition going on. And now, beginning Perek Daled, and one main nevuah that was handed down to Shmuel was that the house of Eli was going to fall. And that's where our story picks up this week. We start with a Perek Daled. I'm actually going to share my screen with you. If you do not have access to a print copy, you can certainly use my screen. And even if you do have access to the print copy, this is just such a wonderful tool. I would like you to be aware of it. This is called Merkava. I don't know if you're familiar with Merkava or not, but Merkava.com. They have all of Tanakh online, and this is different than Sfaria. Sfaria has the Tanakh, but Merkava, as you see in front of you, everybody sees my screen? Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. So Merkava keeps the text in the classical font. So this really looks like the way it would be printed in a printed Navi. And I think there's some benefit to that. I think you're able to process the information better when it's not just one flat font, everything. I think it helps the learning process. So in any event, this is a wonderful tool. You'll see on the bottom over here, you have this is, I believe, Rashi right underneath here. But if you look down to the bottom where my cursor is, see it says four commentaries. So Merkava has four commentaries on these psukim. And if you click on it, like I'm about to do now, boom. So here we have the Metsudas. We have the Metsudas Tzion, Metsudas David, the Ralbag, and the Malbim. We're going to take a little
That's
bit.
cool.
Yeah. So we're going to go back now to where we were. Let's see. Whoops. Haven't quite mastered that piece of it yet, but okay. All right, back here. And also, if you'll notice, right where my cursor is over here, there is an English translation, and the English translation goes phrase by phrase. So up top over here, it says, "Vayhi dvar Shmuel l'chol Yisrael." These are the words of Shmuel, the nevuah of Shmuel to all Bnei Yisrael, and that phrase is translated right down here. And then I click on the next piece, "Vayetze Yisrael likrat plishtim," and you have the English there. So this is a really wonderful. It's a really wonderful tool, and I recommend it if it's something that you would find useful. I think you would find it useful. Okay, so let's.
Merkava.com, you said?
Yes,
Merkava.
Merkava.com. Okay, so let's start. Where we left off, or as I mentioned, Hashem gave a nevuah to Shmuel, and that nevuah to Shmuel was that the house of Eli was coming to an end. A great thing was going to happen. A big deal was going to happen. And now the big deal is about to unfold. Vayhi dvar Shmuel chol Yisrael, and the words of Shmuel, the nevuah of Shmuel, became known to all of Bnei Yisrael. Vayetze Yisrael likrat plishtim, La Milchama. And the Jewish people went out to war against the Plishtim. Now, it's not clear why they went out to war with the Plishtim. Was the Nevuah calling them to go out to war with Plishtim? If you look Rashi over here, it says, Nihiyah davar shene'emar l'shmuel, u'balachol Yisrael, v'heichaya ha'puranut, v'yatza Yisrael likrat Plishtim la'milchama. So Rashi is sort of putting this all together. They heard the Nevuah, they knew bad stuff was coming, and what was going to happen, and they go out to war with the Plishtim. So, but it's not exactly clear why they went out to war with the Plishtim. Nevertheless, the Jewish people's engagement, one second, the Jewish people's engagement with the Plishtim, both in Sefer Shoftim, as well as in Sefer Shmuel, is often an indicator to the spiritual standing of Klal Yisrael. So if the Jewish, if we remember back in Shoftim, the Bnei Yisrael were enslaved to the Plishtim at various times. They were persecuted, and they were, if not actually enslaved, they were, serfs to the Plishtim. So by the Navi telling us that the Jewish people are going out to war with the Plishtim, the Navi is sort of telling the reader, we're about to give you a snapshot as to what the spiritual standing of Klal Yisrael is. It is the barometer for their spiritual standing. Go ahead, Barbara.
Well, you answered it partially, because in Rashi, when you said ve'he'echaya ha'puranut, so I was wondering what was the punishment for? Like, what was the war against the Plishtim a punishment for?
Yeah. So perhaps this is part of the of what is going to be the unfolding of the demise of the house of Eli. Okay, that Puranut, right?
Oh.
Okay. Vayachanu al Evan Ha'ezer, uflishtim chanu be'afek. And the two sides were set up in the classic battle stance, each one on their side of the battlefield. The Jews, Bnei Israel, were encamped in a place called Evan Ha'ezer. The Plishtim were encamped in Afek. I actually went online to try to find a Tanakh map to see where these places were. Unfortunately, I didn't find it. Maybe it has it in the Dot Mikra Atlas. I'll have to take a look later. But nevertheless, they're poised for battle. Vaya'archu Plishtim likrat Yisrael, and the Plishtim get themselves ready. They arrange themselves they array themselves for battle. Vatitosh hamilchama, and they go to battle, and the battle spreads. The war spreads. Vayinagef Yisrael lifnei Plishtim, and Bnei Yisrael are routed by the Plishtim. Now, when you lose, that's one thing. Vayinagef means it was an utter and complete routing. And this language of vayinagef, is similar to the word, negef or magefa, which means a plague. So when it says vayinagef Yisrael, the Navi is indicating this isn't just that they were that they lost the battle, but that it was a very terrible loss, but this is a spiritual smiting by Hashem. This is a magefa. This is vayinagef Yisrael. Vayaku b'ma'aracha basadeh karba'as alafim ish, and 4,000 of them were killed. Okay, so day one of this battle does not work out too well. Okay, let's move forward. Pasukimo, vayavoha amela machane, the Jews who survived the battle, they get together in the camp. Vayomru ziknei Yisrael, and they said, now how do you read this pasuk? Vayomru ziknei Yisrael, because the way it's translated over here is the elders of Israel said, but maybe it could be vayomru and they said ziknei Yisrael, elders of Israel, lama nirgafanu Hashem hayom lifnei plishtim. Explain to us, O elders of Israel, why is it that we were smitten? Why were we routed by Hashem? Right? But that's not the standard way to read it. Either way, even if it's the standard way, Vayomru Ziknei Yisrael, which makes it even worse, actually, the Ziknei Yisrael, the elders of Israel, said, woe is to us! Why is this happening? Lama negafanu? Why is Hashem doing this to us? Why were we routed by the Plishtim? Nikcha elenu. So don't read any further. If you read further, wipe it from your mind. Okay. Right. So what would you expect the next line or the next pasuk in the Navi to be? Right. They say, why Hashem did this happen to us today? So what's the next line going to be? Who would be speaking, or what would be the tenor or the content, generally speaking, of what you would expect to happen next?
Rebuke.
So who would be rebuking whom?
Whoever these people are talking to. Who are the elders speaking to?
Okay, so if they're speaking to the elders, or if the elders are speaking to whoever, to Shmuel, to Hashem, the response would be a rebuke. Now, Sidel, why would you think the response would be a rebuke? Maybe it would just be an answer. Maybe it's an answer. This happened because...
it's an answer, but I think the answer is in rebuke form.
Right. Okay, in other words, if Bnei Israel are losing a war, then that calls for some measure of accounting. Why is this happening? Now, there are two ways that one can deal with tragedy or with difficulty. I don't want to say tragedy, but with difficulty. One is introspection, and the other is finding somebody to blame. So the Ziknei Yisrael apparently were looking to blame Hashem rather than looking inwards. And if this is going to be a real answer, is not going to be, well, this has nothing to do with you. I mean, what's the likelihood that that's going to be the answer? This is not about you, it's about me. That's not likely, right? What's more likely is what Sidel said, which is that Ziknei Yisrael have something, Bnei Yisrael have something to account for. So, Barbara, go on.
We have a shmur, because it says, Vayid all Yisrael. And the next, shouldn't the people have approached Shmuel to ask him this?
Good point. So let's go on and see what actually happens. So apparently this was either a rhetorical question, or if it was a question posed to the Navi, they didn't wait for an answer. Nikcha elenu mishilo. So they said, you know what? We have a perfectly good way to deal with this problem. Let's go to Shiloh, and we're going to, and what was in Shiloh? The Aron Bris Hashem. So let's go to Shiloh. We'll take the Aron. We'll bring it to us. V'yavo b'kirbenu, and it will dwell amongst us in battle. V'yoshienu mikaf oyvenu. And that is the answer to our dilemma. That's the answer to our problem. Everything's solved. Right, the only thing that we're missing is the super weapon of the Aron Bris Hashem. Right, the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Right, this is the secret. This is the secret weapon. Now, I think that we all know intuitively it's not the secret weapon. That the secret weapon would have been Ashamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu, Dibarnu Dofi, whatever the appropriate confession would be. But instead, they go to the Aron Bris Hashem. They go to the center of spirituality, and they say, we're going to take this, and clearly this has always been our talisman, our protector. This is what has always gone out to us with war. This is the mistake we made. And of course, the mistake they made is thinking that that was the mistake they made.
But that, If the Aaron was their protector, and in Kibush Eretz Yisrael, didn't it go with them in their in the Milchamot?
Yes.
So why would you feel that that would have been a solution? Other than being introspective, I mean, I'm saying.
Well, I think that if one is thinking on a very superficial level, then they would come to that erroneous conclusion. And they would fail to realize that it was not the Aron Bris Hashem which was protecting them. It was Hashem which was protecting them. And the Aron Bris Hashem is simply a manifestation of that. Now, they didn't say, Nelcha, let's go to Shiloh and let's prostrate ourselves before Hashem and let's consult with a Kohen Gadol, Eli, or let's consult rather, they said, let's go for, in other words, they had a flu. And they said, you know what, let's get some Tylenol so we can feel a little better. Instead of finding what the getting a vaccine, or I guess there's no remedy for the flu except for chicken soup, but instead of going for a cure, they went to deal with the symptom, and that's what Nichaylenu Mishilo Asaron Bris Hashem is. They're missing the point, and so this is really doomed to failure. And it's not just that they're missing the point, but this is symptomatic of the problem to begin with. They said, Lama niga, right? Lama nigafanu Hashem hayom. Why is Hashem doing this to us? That already is problematic. And then, so they're not looking at they're not looking at the core issue and then trying to find a remedy for the core issue. Instead, they are looking at some type of symptom, and then they go find a cure for the symptom. You know, it must be Hashem is upset with us. You know, I'm saying this. This is not in the pasuk, but it must be Hashem is upset with us, or the thing that we're doing wrong is that we don't have the Aron Bris with us. That is so unidimensional and superficial. All right, so go ahead. I'm going to unshare my screen with you so I can see you guys better. Yeah, go ahead.
It's somewhat of a continuation from Shoftim.
Yes.
Right, to the extent that it's the same old, right? It's almost this Avodah Zarah in a sense, right? It's this, something's going wrong. Oh, well, it can't be us. It must be something else. Like, as soon as the Navi dies or the whatever, Eli isn't there to tell them, they just kind of run amok.
Yeah, it actually is reminiscent, if you think about it, of two instances that I can think of in the Chumash. One is when the Nechash HaNechoshes, right? The Nechash HaNechoshes, which ultimately people believed it was the copper snake which had the healing power, and they didn't realize that it was Hashem behind this copper. They were looking up to the copper snake. And instead of seeing Hashem in heaven, they just saw the copper snake. They thought that it was, they thought it was the medicine that was that was giving them the cure, and not Hashem that was infusing the medicine with the cure. Similarly, by Cheta Egel, the Jewish people see the golden calf as their as their savior, So I think those two are good examples of what's going on over here, namely seeing the Aron not simply as a representation of Hashem, but that the power lies within the Aron itself. Yes, go ahead, Kalman.
I would like to say something Bikirbeinu, it means inside us. If we have the Aron Hashem with us here, maybe we will be able to feel closer to Hashem. V'yoshienu Hashem miyad oyvenu.
Okay.
It's that kavana.
Right.
It's not the Aron. That's silly to think that the Aron will stay there.
So I think not them. Okay, so you are Dan Lechav Zchut, Bnei Yisrael over here, that really they are, that they have great spiritual aspirations, that they really do understand the role of the Aron, and that and they want it to Bikir Beinu. Perhaps. Let's read further. Right. Okay, I accept that. I accept that as a question, but I'm not sure that I accept your interpretation. And the reason is for what we're about to read. Vayishlach ha'am Shiloh, and the people went to Shiloh, and they sent forth. Vayisu misham et Aron bris Hashem tzvaos yoshev hakruvim. They came, they took the Aron. Visham shnei bnei Eli im Aron bris Elohim chafi b'binchas. And there, when they went to Shiloh, were the two sons of Eli with the Aron bris Hashem, Chafni and Pinchas. I believe it's the Malbim who says, if I'm not mistaken, that is there any indication here when they went to Shiloh that they consulted with Eli, that they spoke with Shmuel, that they asked permission to take the Aron bris Hashem? The Aron bris Hashem going out to war is done by some type of either command of Hashem, or instruction of the Navi, or in consultation with the Kohen Gadol. But none of that happens here. They just go and they chop it. Now, even if you want to take, Kalman, your approach, that the Avod Kirbenu, they had good intentions, but there's something warped over here. You don't just walk into, to the Mishkan, and take the, There's a board of directors. You have to have a board meeting. You have to have a resolution. You have to have a vote. Something has to happen here. You don't just walk in and take the Aron bris Hashem without talking to and none of that happened there. So therefore I read these psukim a little bit more critically. Yes, go ahead.
Maybe Shmuel. Going back to my point before. In the beginning, it said Vayhi devar Shmuel lechol Yisrael.
Right.
And then after that, those few words, you don't hear about Shmuel.
Right.
Maybe Shmuel wasn't there to be asked. I don't know. I'm just asking.
To me, a more simple read is that they didn't bother to ask him.
Yeah.
Right.
Rabbi?
Yes, go ahead, Sadal.
When I see those two names, those two sons,
yep.
I'm already thinking no good is coming from whatever they do.
Yeah, right.
The people are allowing them to do whatever they want. They're not criticizing them. They're not.
Right. The presence of the sons of Eli already sullies the picture here. V'sham shnei bnei Eli im Aron bris Hashem. The two sons of Eli are there with Aron bris Hashem, Chafni and Pinchas. So already there's something. It's not like nobody knew what Chafni and Pinchas were doing. This is well known. We already have that in Perek Aleph or Perek Beis. It's well known. Their terrible behavior. So
maybe that's what they're punished for.
Yes,
that they allowed them to just have free reign.
Okay. Okay.
Let's hear the story.
All right. Pasuk Hey. Avi, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say that this is very similar to like a case of like we might have said this, but it's similar to a case of like you lie to yourself. Like, for example, when you're studying for a test and you think you know it well, but you don't know it, you're lying to yourself that you know it. It's kind of similar to like that.
Right. So I agree with you. Who are you suggesting is lying to or is deceiving themselves?
The Bnei Yisrael, because they're saying Hashem is gonna obviously have us if we get the Aron, but maybe in the back of their mind they're like maybe it won't work.
Right. Okay. Pasuk Hey. Vayhi kivo Aron bris Hashem el machaneh. The Aron bris Hashem comes to the camp. Vayareu kol Yisrael trua gedola, and they blast. A great blast, trua gedola, right? This reminds us of the story of Yericho, right? Didn't they blow shofros by Yericho, right? So they're doing all the right things. They're getting the Aron, they're blowing the shofars, but tehom haaretz, and the earth shook. Right? So they, you know, they're probably thinking to themselves, we're on the right track over here. Just like in Jericho, the walls came tumbling down over here, so the earth is shaking. We're on to, we got it. We have the Aron, we have the Truas. We're doing all the right things. Vayishmu plishtim es kol hatrua. And the plishtim here, the kol hatrua. Vayomru me kol hatrua hagdola hazos b'machaneh ha'ivrim. What is this loud sound going on in the camp of the Ivrim? Vayedu, and they knew, ki Aron Hashem, it was the Aron of Hashem, ba el ha-machaneh, that came into the camp. And this I find extraordinary. The Pasuk is telling us that what I think is going on here is that the Pasuk is contrasting the Plishtim versus Bnei Yisrael. But, who did Bnei Yisrael hear? They didn't hear any, they didn't hear Shmuel, they didn't hear Eli, they didn't hear Dvar Hashem. And in the Plishtim, they hear this Kol Trua, the Edu Ki Aron Hashem Bala Machaneh. They knew that the Aron of Hashem was in the camp. So, and now Vayiru HaPlishtim, and the Plishtim are afraid. Ki Amru, they said, Ba Elohim Ala Machaneh, God is now in the camp with the Jewish people. Vayomru, and they said, Oilanu, woe is to us. Kilo haisa kazos et mol. This is different than yesterday, Shilshom, or the day before that. Before that, we were fighting people. Now we're going to fight Hashem. That, you know, we're not really up for beating the Jews if they have God on their side. This is such a striking contrast to Bnei Israel. I mean, you have here the Plishtim using language which is like the language of tshuva. Oilanu, you know, mehayalanu, right, in Eicha, right? Oilanu miatzilenu miyan Elohim. Who is woe is to us? Who is going to save us from the hand of this strong God? Elohim Elohim hamakimis Mitzrayim b'chol maka b'midbar. This is the very same God who struck down Mitzrayim with all kinds of plagues in the midbar. So here you have the Plishtim sort of recognizing the power of Hashem, and I think this is an extraordinary contrast. The Plishtim, whether they're polytheists or pagans, but they have some recognition of Hashem. From their perspective, this is actually an extraordinary. I mean, from our perspective, looking at Plishtim, this is an extraordinary act of spiritual admission here. And spiritual awareness. By contrast, look at what Klal Yisrael did. All they did was they complained to Hashem, Lama, why did this happen to him? Why did Hashem let this happen? And then they went and then they stole the. And in my view, they stole the Aron, and they blew shofars. They went through the actions of what a spiritual people do, what a God conscious people do. But they weren't God conscious, because if they were truly God conscious, they wouldn't have been pointing fingers at Hashem. They would have consulted with the Navi or with the Kohen Gadol before taking the Aron. And when it says, I'm going to go back here one pasuk. When it says they blew the shofar, let's try it again. Oh, I got to go all the way back. Sorry. All right. When it says they blew, it says Vayareu Kol Yisrael Trua Gdola. They blew a great trua. When it happened in Jericho, their Kohanim present. You know, this is not just this is like a whole ceremony. So it just feels like this is a synthetic repetition or rendition of what they think they're supposed to be doing, while not actually doing the spiritual work behind all of this. By contrast,
the abridged version.
Yeah, the abridged version, right? They did the actions of tshuva, but they didn't actually do tshuva. By contrast, the Plishtim, they hear the Kol Trua, they realize that Hashem is in the Machaneh, they're concerned, Aylanu, you know, they seem to have much more God consciousness than Bnei Israel do. All right. So the pasuk says. So where do we leave off here? Pasuk tes. Hitchazku v'hayu la'anashim plishtim penda avdula evrim kasher avdulachem. So after they've acknowledged the power of Hashem, they say to their soldiers, strengthen yourselves. We're going to fight the Jews lest we become slaves to them, like they were slaves to us earlier on. Kasher avdulachem. V'yisem la'anashim. Be strong, be powerful, and go and fight. Now, The Mefarshim say if they understood Hashem's power, so why were they bothering to fight? So again, I go back to the Malbim. I believe it's the Malbim who says that they had a different conception of Hashem than Bnei Israel. When I say that they had a God consciousness, I'm saying as pagans they had more God consciousness of Hashem than Bnei Israel did. But it doesn't mean that they were tzaddikim. So they didn't really, fully understand that Hashem, or appreciate the fact that Hashem is the cause of everything. God is the cause of all causes. He is the creator. He is the founder. He is the creator of all. And they had sort of a more pagan conception of God. You know that that God is just sort of like a more powerful physical being. So let's toughen up, we'll do the best we can. If we can't beat him, at least maybe we can prevent ourselves from becoming slaves to Bnei Israel.
Rabbi, can I say something?
Go ahead.
I'm not like totally sure that the Plishtim had more sense of like a godlike thing than the Jews did, because you have to realize that the Jews they have like they blew the shofar in Hashem's honor. They also marched on the battlefield because they thought they were like doing it in Hashem's honor. So it can like made an argument that the Jews had more righteous intentions, even though they might have been a little wrong.
All right, it's a good point you make, but the pasuk does not say indicate anywhere that they were fighting on behalf of Hashem. It doesn't. It just says they went out to war. So there is no indication that they were doing this al pi tzivui Hashem or after consulting with Hashem. There's no consulting with a Navi, no consulting with a Kohen. They just go out to war. Pasuk Yud, right?
I think that's basically it. They were fearful of Hashem's power after what they knew Hashem did in Mitzrayim.
Right. Pasuk 10. Vayilachamu plishtim vayinagef Yisrael, and the plishtim battle Bnei Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael are routed again. Vayanusu ish la'ohalav, and this time it's even a worse routing. Originally, they were just on the first day of battle, they were routed on the battlefield. Now they're routed on the battlefield, vayanusu ish la'ohalav, and they run, with their heads between their tails, and they run home. And the smiting was a great blow. 30,000 foot soldiers are killed. V'aron Elohim nilkach u'shnei bnei Eli meitu v'achafni u'pinchas. So 30,000 people are killed. The Aron is now taken captive, and the two sons of Eli, Chafni and Pinchas. Chafni and Pinchas die. They're the Kohanim. So this is really a terrible routing. The fact that the Aron is taken indicates that when Bnei Yisrael took the Aron out, it was improper. It's a mida keneged mida. The fact that they lost the Aron indicates that when they took the Aron, it was wrong for them to take it to begin with. And the pasuk. Yeah, because Chafni and Pinchas were there with the Aron, right? So very good, Barbara. So they took the Aron inappropriately. Chafni and Pinchas most likely were the guards, because that's what the Pasuk said. The Pasuk said Chafni and Pinchas were with the Aaron, so they obviously gave permission. There's no, you know, they didn't go and take it out from under them without telling them. They were there, so they obviously had to agree to it. And so the Aaron is gone, and the two sons of Eli are killed as well. Yeah.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Why does I have a question. Why did it say then that they died as opposed to killed? I don't know. Why doesn't it say that they were killed?
Yeah.
Maybe they died. Maybe it means, maybe it's some sort of punishment from Hashem.
Yeah. No? It's a...
This was the Nevuah of Shmuel. Shnehem yamutu biyom echad.
Right. So I think what Siddel is saying, and I think that's a good point, is the fact that it says Ushnei Bnei Eli Meitu rather than Nehergu is because nobody actually killed them. They were not out at war. They were not in the war zone. So the fact that they died is a mitabi de shamayim, and that's what Rabbi Shaloni is saying, is that that is the right. That's the fulfillment of the nevuah that we saw back last week in Parag Gimel. So this is, and it's not just the prophecy coming true. The Navi is sort of explaining to us, how the demise of the house of Eli is part and is a reflection of the spiritual torpitude of Klal Yisrael at this time. And they go hand in hand with one another, right? Now, Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayaretz Ish Binyamin Mehama Aracha, a man from Binyamin ran from the battlefield, and the Rashi says that this was Shaul. Vayavo Shilo Bayomahu, he came to Shilo on that day. Umadav Kruim, his uniform, his clothing, were all ripped. Vadama al Rosho, this is like the status of an Avel, right? The great tragedy had happened. Vayavo Vihine Eli Yoshev al Akise Yad Derech Mitzapeh, and Eli was sitting in his chair. He was beside the road, and he was anxiously waiting. I'm reminded of the mother of Aim Sisera, yeah, standing by, yeah, the window, looking, you know, for her son to come home. So here you have Eli, standing by the, waiting to see what's going to happen. Ki hayali bo chared, his heart was very nervous. He was anxious about what was his they're going out to war. What was he anxious about?
Two things. Yeah.
What was he anxious about?
And his sons coming.
Well, his sons didn't go out. His sons didn't go out to war.
And the nevuah being fulfilled at this point.
The Torah, the Navi says he was anxious al Aron ha'Elohim. Right, his sons went out to war, or his sons left. Maybe they weren't battling, but they went out. Bnei Yisrael are in battle, and he's concerned about Aron Elohim. Now, I'm not saying he shouldn't be concerned about Aron Elohim, but the fact that the Navi says that that's what he was concerned about and doesn't say he was concerned about the other things, again, seems to be like just this whole topsy-turvy morality going on over here, where he's more concerned about Aron Elohim than about tens of thousands of people possibly dying. It's just there's something amiss over here. The Ha'ish.
Where was he before, Rabbi?
What?
Where was he before?
Where was who before?
Where was Eli before when they took?
I don't know, but he was in Shiloh. The point of the matter is that he wasn't concerned about the war that was going on, what he was, or even about the welfare of his own sons. He was concerned about the Aron, And and as important as the Aron is, the Aron is not more important than life, than the lives of the people. Va'ish bala hagid ba'ir.
Maybe he thought.
Go ahead.
Maybe he thought that if everything was okay with the Aron, it would be a shomer, and everybody else would be okay too.
Yeah, but what it says is ki hayali bo chared al Aron. Elohim, he was anxious. His heart trembled concerning the Aron. Now, if the Navi wanted to tell us he was concerned about Bnei Yisrael, there's a way to say that. It could have even said ki chlibo chared al Aron Elohim v'al Bnei Yisrael, or something like. But the absence, the silence, is deafening in my opinion. The Ha'ish Bala Hagid Ba'ir, and one second, and he came to share the news. Batizak Kol Ha'ir, and the people found out, and they are apoplectic. They are crying, and they are in terrible grief. Yeah, go on. What did you want to say?
Is it the Pasha Pshat that the Bnei Haley did not go with the Aram?
No,
I always just assumed that they did go, and that's why he was waiting.
Yeah, no,
they weren't there.
It's not a pashup shot. In fact, you'll see in a couple of psukim when the messenger gives word, it sounds like the messenger is testifying to their death, on the battlefield. But I'm saying, but even if they went out, the fact that it says that they died and they weren't killed indicates they really weren't part of the battle per se.
But the messenger from the battlefield, and that's what he was reporting on.
Right. So let's read the next psukim. Vayishma Eli es kol hatzeaka. Eli hears the cries in the town. Vayomer me kol hehamon hazeh. What's all this commotion? Vehaish mihar vayavo vayaged Eli. And he quickly came and he explained to Eli what was going on. The Eli ben Tishim Shana, and Eli was 98 years old. The Einav Kamav Lo Yachol Lirot, and his eyes were, he was blind. The Lo Yachol Lirot, and he wasn't able to see. Vayomer Ha'ish El Eli, and the man says to Eli, Anochi Haba Min Amaracha, I come to you from the battlefield. Vani Min Amaracha Nasti Hayom. I didn't just come, but I ran away because it was a routing. Vayomer mehaya davar bini. So he says, "Well, what happened? Tell me everything." Vayomer vayaan hamevaser, and the messenger replies, "Vayomer," and he says, "Nas Yisrael lifnei plishtim. Bnei Yisrael fled in the face of the plishti onslaught. V'gam magefa gedola haisa ba'am, and there was also a great plague amongst the people." So here the Navi is saying, the Plishtim killed many people. V'gam magefa gdola. What was this magefa? So it could mean, this is just a way of saying that they ran away from the Plishtim, and the Plishtim, killed many people. It was a magefa, Nigaf mipnei ha-plishtim. They were routed. It was a great routing. But I think this lashon of magefa, which can also mean a plague, is basically he's saying that there was it wasn't that there's a spiritual dimension to here that Hashem took took punishment. V'gam shnei banecha mesu chafni upinchas. Your two sons also died. V'aron Elohim nilkacha. So what happened here? The Jews fled. There was a spiritual reckoning by Hashem. Your sons, Eli, your two sons died. Weren't killed, they died, and the Aron Elokim was taken. Right? So this is just, from Eli's perspective, a total and utter, this is just a total and utter decimation. Nationally, religiously, personally, family, children, everything. He is just done. He is squashed. He is entirely destroyed. Vayomer ha'ish el Eli, and he's, I'm sorry, Vayihi hazkiro es Aron Elohim, and when he mentioned about the Aron Elohim, Vayipol me'al ha'kisei achoranis, he falls backwards, ba'ad yad ha'sha'ar, through the gate, v'tisha'er mafrakto v'yamot, and he broke his neck and he died. Kizaken ha'ish yukaved, he was an old man and he was heavy, so he fell and he died. The Hushafat of Yisrael Arba'im Shana, and he judged the people. He was the shofet for 40 years. So let's say this is a very, very important pasuk. Vayihikaz kiro as Aron Elohim. What was the trigger here for Eli having this strong reaction, and he just, it was the loss of the Aron Elohim. Not his sons dying. Not the Jews running in flight. Not the Magefa, it was the Aron Elohim. Now, I think there are two ways to read this. This is either an indictment on Eli, or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's an indictment that, again, Eli is more concerned about the Aron than about, you know, than about the life and death of Klal Yisrael. He's even more concerned about the Aron than the life and death of his own two sons. But there's maybe another way to read this. Vayihi kazkiro es Aron Elohim, and when he was told about the Aron Elohim that was taken, like, this is the big wake-up call. What did we have? We were told that Eli was last week, that Eli could barely see. Today, in this last pasuk, we're told he's blind as a bat. In other words, that Eli was sort of oblivious to really what was going on. And now, Hazkiro es Aron Elohim, when he hears that the Aron Elohim was taken, it's a slap in the face. It's a knock on the head, whatever the appropriate metaphor is. It's a wake-up call that he realizes, Ad Heichan Higanu, how far have I fallen? What he sees, he's blind as a bat, but he finally sees, and the reckoning that he has to make with himself for his utter and complete failure, his failure with his children, his failure to lead Klal Yisrael properly. He failed. And when you're 98 years old, and you realize that your life mission was an utter failure, Vayipol me'al ha'kisei achoranis, ba'ad yad ha'sha'ar, v'tishaber mafrakto v'yamos. Kizaken ha'ish v'chaved. What does it mean that he was old and heavy? I think what it means is that he was old, he lived this long life, and he died under the weight of that realization of his utter and complete failure as a leader of Klal Yisrael and a representative of Hashem. V'hu shafat Yisrael arba'im shana. Right? He was the judge for 40 years. So this is a pretty sad ending to the story of Eli. And when Hashem says that the house of Eli, you know, is going to collapse, it really collapses, at least in Eli's part, it collapses under the weight of his own recognition. And maybe this is, you know, Asa tshuva shah achas lifnei misaso. Maybe this is Eli doing tshuva a moment before his death, finally realizing he should have done things differently. So that brings us to a new part of the to a final section of the of Perek Dalet. And I don't think that we're going to get there entirely tonight. But, well, you know what? Maybe it's 8:52, so we have a few more minutes. Let's just read a few more psukim here.
Wow.
You know, I'll tell you what. Before I read these psukim, again, I believe it's the Malbim who points out that, you know, when Bnei Israel, were routed by the Plishtim, You know, they said, you know, where is Hashem? But when Chafni and Pinchas were doing all this stuff for years and years, there was no outrage to that. Where was the statement, you know, what are you doing, Chafni and Pinchas? They had no problem saying, Lama nigafim mipnei Hashem, I forgot the language. They had no problem, you know, pointing their fingers at Hashem and saying, why? But where was the outrage? Where was the outrage when it came to Chafni and Pinchas? And the answer is there was no outrage, right? Lama nigafanu the Hashem hayom lefnei plishtim. Why did Hashem allow us to be routed by the plishtim? But they didn't have such qualms regarding Chafni and Pinchas. So, you know, there's a lot of blame to go around over here. Okay.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Is that why possibly they got that punishment? Because they did nothing about, they did not rebuke Chafni and Pinchas as well? I'm talking about Bnei Yisrael also?
Yeah.
Maybe there was that was the connection, that Bnei Israel did not rebuke them either.
Yeah, I think that's part. I certainly think that's part of it as well. So we're just going to read a few more psukim, and maybe we'll focus a little bit more on this next week. But we have here pasuk yud tes. So v'chalaso eshes Pinchas haralala. So Eli's daughter-in-law, Pinchas's wife, was ready to give birth. Batishma tashmoa el hilakach aron Elohim, and she heard the news. Again, what did she hear the news? She heard that the Aron Elohim was taken. So again, is it that she heard that news and that she was upset? Or what about her husband dying? You know, or. What about that? So
that was last.
What?
That was last.
It says, "Vatishma es hashmua el hilakach aron Elohim umes chamia v'isha vatichra v'telet kinefchu ala." Yeah, but what's the first thing? The first thing is that the Aron Elohim, right? It's almost like it's almost an afterthought. Umes chamia v'isha. Right, vatichra vateled. One second, vatichra vateled. So she crouches down and she gives birth. Kinefchu aleha tzireha, and she was about to die. Vatidaberna hanitzavos aleha, and those next to her said, "Al tiri ki ben yalada. Don't worry, you have a child." Velo anta. She didn't answer. Velo shasali ba. She didn't really pay attention. Vatikra la naar, and she called the child Ichavod. She called right Ichabod. Ichabod. That's where Ichabod comes from. That's where Ichabod comes from. Ichavod. Batikra la nahar Ichavod. Why did she call him Ichavod? Gala kavod mi Israel. The glory of Bnei Israel had been stripped. El, because of the fact hilakach aron Elohim, ve'el chamia ve'isha, and because of the fact that the aron was taken, because of the fact that the aron was taken. And that her father-in-law and her husband died. So, you know, this whole thing just really ends in terrible tragedy for everyone. And it is in the, you know, it is in sort of the, you know, you have to sort of reach rock bottom before you can start building up again. And it is in that rock bottom, Batomer gala chavod miYisrael, ki nilkach aron Elohim. And she reiterated the fact that the glory of Hashem had departed because the Aron of had been taken captive. Okay, so that brings us really to the end of the parak, and it's a really sad parak in many ways because it tells us as much about Eli as it does about Bnei Yisrael. And it is in this, you know, this is the seeds for which Shmuel has to reconstruct the people and reconstruct the nation. But I just want to leave maybe on a more positive, on one positive thought, and that is that Eli, you know, I would like to believe that when Eli died under the weight of his own recognition, that we should read that as an act of tshuva. As I said a moment ago, and as far as Eli went, you know, went off from his mission, you know, he in his last moments had that recognition. And, you know, it's a, I think this parak is sort of like one big mussar. We shouldn't wait for that Shah achas lefnei misaso, you know, before we take that accounting, but rather take the accounting and take stock of ourselves when we are in our strength, so that way we can come to our 120th year feeling fulfilled about our mission rather than empty for having missed it. So, with that, we conclude Perek Dalad.
That's good Musa for the elders of the community, because they were saying, why is this happening to us?
Yeah. Yes, for the Zikne, the Zikne Yisrael. That's correct. That's correct.
Rabbi?
Yeah, one at a time. One second one at a time. Kalman, go ahead.
Sure.
I want to say that Likichat Aron Elohim is a symbol as if Hashem left them, not Aaron. We know, because this was he saw, everybody saw, Lakach Aron Elohim, it's only Aaron, what is this? But they probably felt that Hashem left them.
Right.
This was I'm thinking here.
Right.
This was they, Eli and even the daughter-in-law, everybody.
Right.
What happened to us?
Right. And, you know, and I think that that's a good counterpoint to, you know, your comment of earlier on, that they brought the Aron into the battlefield because they wanted Hashem to be part, you know, to be part of them. But just like I'm arguing that really, you know, they were sincere when they brought the Aron Hashem. But sincerity doesn't mean that they were right. It just means, like somebody else said, that maybe they were deceiving themselves a little bit about, you know, really how righteous they, you know, they truly were. And now I believe that when they, to your point, Rabbi Shaloni, they are very sad, and that, you know, that Nilkach Aron, that Hashem's presence is gone. But maybe this will now engender some real introspection that should have happened earlier, but maybe that introspection will happen now, and now enable, just like Eli did tshuva in his final moments, maybe the people will now have an opportunity to do some tshuva themselves.
Well, it's a big job.
Yes,
yes. Well, has a big job to do.
He has a big job. All right, Barbara, you had one. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, I think from the sounds of it, it sounds like Pinchas's wife was pretty righteous.